It was a time of great discouragement when Paul writes this epistle. Many reasons to be discouraged. We're living in such a time today, and I find the people of God in many places, maybe in all places, there are those that are discouraged, they're disappointed, they're afflicted, they're in all types of difficulties and trials. And such was Timothy, was found in that time. And he was a young man. So this is very good for us today, and to realize Timothy, you might say in such a time, or like the present time, for a young person, there's little future in this world. There's little hope or things you can expect because everything fails. You may have great plans, but everything breaks down, not because you did anything wrong, but we're living in those situations, in those conditions of things, where the whole human system, whether it is the moral condition, whether it's the economic condition, where the social life, in every area, everything is breaking down in our present day. We're witnessing this. And so what is there for, what can Paul do to encourage Timothy? Not only were these circumstances, whatever they were, but he was discouraged when he saw the condition of things in the church, in the assembly, and the Apostle Paul himself, who had been his mentor, through whom he had been saved. And to think that now he's in chains, in prison. And here he's, in a sense, he's alone. And Paul, recognizing the genuineness of the faith that is in Timothy, that he is one whose mother, grandmother, under their training or upbringing, tutoring, he had come through the Apostle Paul to receive Christ, to know it. He was genuine. Paul knew this. And so he seeks to stir him up, encourage him. And he says, stir up the gift, verse 6, of God that is in you by the putting in of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of wise discretion. So the apostle recognized that Timothy, God had given him a gift. We heard that earlier. Every one of us has been given something. We have been called. We've been equipped in one way or another. And we are told to use the talents, what is given to us, to work with it. Be faithful in what has been given to us. And it seems this gift was dormant. Has that ever happened in your life? That you recognize there was something the Lord would have you to do or how you should continue on? And you said, what's the use? Nobody cares. Nobody's listening. What can I do? But he encourages him. He says, look, we have received a spirit of power. The spirit of God, a divine person, dwells in us. The spirit of power. And first of all, he says, a spirit not of fear, but of power. Now, power, we all like power. But power can be misused, and because, in fact, it can become dangerous. If a powerful locomotive gets off the tracks, it can do a lot of damage. It has to stay on the tracks. And I'd like to just suggest here that the next phrase, and of love, is one of the things to keep it on track. That is, the power, or the having a gift in itself, is power. There's power in a spiritual gift that God gives. But that has to be used, not, as we've heard earlier, not to exalt the vessel, but is there for the benefit and the blessing of the people of God, for their upbuilding. But in order to do that, there has to be love and activity. Love for the saints of God. Those who are dear to Christ, he bought them. He paid his, he shed his blood to save everyone, everyone that's saved. They're all dear to him. And so he is now telling him, now this is love for the saints. We have this, we have received the Spirit of God. And in Romans 5, I believe, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given to us. So that is there. And then of a sound mind, discernment is so needed. Again, if love, everybody says, you know, oh, I love everybody, and you can go on off course, completely off of the right pathway. So power on one hand is dangerous. Just speaking about love is dangerous on the other hand. So there is that right balance. So it is a sound mind is needed, wise discernment, when especially amongst the people of God and all the perplexities that are there, you need the sound mind. And therefore, he says now, Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, the prisoner. Who wants to be a friend of someone in jail? And here, when we find how Paul encourages him and leads him on, he says, really, this is, just think of what I'm enduring. But as an encouragement, he brings to him then the thought that in the enduring of the gospel according to the power of God. But then in verse 9, who hath saved us, called us, have this here again, with an holy calling, not according to our works. This was, a brother mentioned this earlier, this is completely independent of us. God himself had this plan. It originates with him. And he is the one who has called us. And that us includes everyone. Everyone that is the Lord's, that has believed, has been called of him, is dear to him. And so he says, it's according to his own purpose. Just imagine, not our works or anything I am or have done, but God had a purpose, a divine design for you and me. That's most marvelous. We who had spoiled everything, as it were, everything that our hands have touched, we ruined. But then we find here that God had a divine purpose. God the eternal. And that before the foundation of the world. He had a purpose. And what was that purpose? He's going to present us to himself. And all the perfections of Christ called us, and he says, and that purpose has been made known and revealed by the grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began. What an encouragement for us in our present day. And so that God's plans are not a temporary plan. It's not a trial employment. We'll see how you make out in 2 months or so, whether we'll keep you or not. No, he has committed himself for our lifetime, for eternity. He's taken charge. He says, that's in my hands. I have a plan for you for eternity, to be with me according to my purpose. How wonderful. Do we realize how encouraging that is in a time of discouragement? And so therefore, he draws attention to this. But now, he said, this has been made manifest, as he said already, by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, abolished death, brought life and immortality or to light through the gospel. So here, in the scene of death, where we had no hope, nothing here to expect or to count on, he has given us something that's in resurrection. It's beyond death, where Christ is. Now, who can touch Christ after death? and seated at God's right hand. Nothing can affect that, what God has purposed. It's fixed in Him. And if our anchor is in Him there, what a security, what strength that gives for us to hold fast and to continue on encouraged along the way.